Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The NBA said it months ago. Marginal contact was not going to be called as much anymore. And what do we have in these playoffs? Hard playoff basketball and podium storm-offs from the competitors. Everything from the Lakers collapse and Nuggets win. Everything from the Sixers collapse and Knicks win. And on ice, everything from the Islanders collapse and the Canes win, and that came in 9 seconds. Ooh, let's go around the horn.
Bing bong!
I just down to leave at any given time.
Russell. Russell with 7 threes, but the drive inside.
Marginal. It's a successful challenge.
D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f***? Do we have a replay center? What are we doing?
Lakers 20-point lead evaporating. And yes, dual podium walk-offs from James and Davis. The vibrations in Denver, by the way, off the charts as Jamal Murray had his moment. Clayton Yates, a lot to unpack here around the horn to Los Angeles. Do the Lakers have anyone to blame but themselves?
They do not, and I think they know that. When this thing started off, head coach Darvin Ham said, I got nothing for Jokic, number one. In last night's game, AD, nothing in the fourth quarter as far as points are concerned. Their bench between Reeves, Rui, and D'Lo has not really shown up as well. And you've got LeBron and AD storming out of press conferences, something that I, in my opinion, is not the kind of thing you would see from a veteran-laden squad like this. Overall, that was unbecoming to me. I was very surprised to see them sort of lose it to themselves that quickly because, A, they know they're not as good of a team, and, B, they're not playing as well as they need to win a game. It was unfortunate that it came down to what it did, but this game changed sort of earlier in the fourth quarter when KCP, former Laker champion, banged on somebody, and that thing totally shifted from a momentum standpoint. I think the Lakers know that this is a major matchup, and they haven't done well enough to try to even be in it at all.
Harry Lyles Jr.
Tony, I got to tell you, I wish I had the marginal contact argument with my parents when me and my brother Josh used to fight when we were kids. But no, the Lakers do not have anybody to blame but themselves. Look, you had a 20-point lead at one point. You shot 43% from three-point in a game where the Nuggets shot 23.5% from three. You had 32-11 from Anthony Davis. He didn't score in the fourth quarter. LeBron James turned back the clock on us in the fourth quarter, and they made a lot of hard shots early in that game. A lot of the shots that the Nuggets were missing were good looks, and eventually you saw the scale even out on that one, and it ended up in the result that we saw. But no, this had nothing to do with the officiating, and honestly, I was kind of surprised to hear LeBron even bring that up at the end of this game because there were so many opportunities for them to close it out.
Israel, you're nodding along with Harry Lyles. Were you surprised to hear LeBron call it out, or were you not surprised to hear LeBron call it out?
Yeah. Neck pains. I'm nodding aggressively so much here. Yes, I actually believe that if I were in Denver there as a reporter in that postgame and LeBron started talking about a foul, I would have thought I lost my mind because he's talking about a foul that happened at the end of the third quarter, or didn't happen, when they were up 10. And D'Angelo Russell is tweeting about the whole world saw that foul. Everybody probably saw that tweet and had to look up what foul he was talking about because LeBron James, can we remind everybody, had a wide open shot to take the lead in that game. And then the player, Anthony Davis, who is whining about not being a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year, is defending Jamal Murray and got him. He got him with a great shot. And that's the game. And so, yeah, if you look at the fact that they were up 20 in this game and you complain about a call in the third quarter, your mind's not where it needs to be. When your coach already says, as Clinton mentioned, that they don't have an answer for Nikola Jokic, then, yeah, the Denver Nuggets probably felt wildly confident down 20 and wanting to make this comeback. So, yeah, the Lakers' mind's entirely in the wrong place. I don't think they have an answer for this team. When you lose against a team 10 straight times, you're probably just going to start fishing and say, hey, I don't know what to do either. And so their answer is complain about a foul in the third quarter.
Pablo Torre, your read on Nuggets over Lakers.
I just have a question. Have you guys met LeBron James before? The idea that he would take hold of the story and try to retell it through his own framing is the story of his entire career. And so, of course, what you're saying is true insofar as the game was one of the, just like a great, you know, old-timey, like welterweight boxing fight in the fourth quarter. One of the most entertaining back and forths that I can remember seeing in the modern era of the NBA. All that is true. You want him to doff his cap, LeBron should, to Jokic and Murray and all of that. But what LeBron is doing here, I think implicitly is saying, I cannot play physically better than what I did in this game. LeBron was incredible. Yes, he missed that shot, but he was unbelievable. And so the question is, in a post-game presser, when you don't want to blame your teammates for not being enough for you, and Anthony Davis, the guy whose confidence you need to boost, is so fragile because he's going to do the same thing you did, throw his microphone on the table, what do? You try to make it about a foul that I'm sure in his photographic memory matters, but in reality, of course, is a rebrand on the story of the game. And so it's the same old story. They lose, and he tries to retell the story.
Clinton Yates, and that's back to you. You buy that?
Yeah, but LeBron James's leadership and keeping that team together was why they were good in the bubble when, hello, they beat the Nuggets on a last-second buzzer beater from AD. That quality of whatever's happened with that team, long gone ever since they took home a Larry O'Brien trophy with this sort of collection of guys. That's why it was so surprising in this case.
And Pablo, I'm with you on the rebrand, but the rebrand typically doesn't go to a call, to Izzy's point, from a call in the third quarter of the game when you were still up by 10.
Understood.
To me, I
but
just thought that was even for him a little bit too far.
Here. It's been 495 days now, today, since they last beat this Denver team.
Desperation.
It's a matchup nightmare. They had to play their best. They got Russell yesterday. He played better basketball. And even with that, it still wasn't enough. Their margin here to beat this team is very, very small. And they feel that. You have to recognize that. Allow for the honesty in that. We'll move on. Sixers have an issue with officiating as well. And they're going further than podium walk-offs. They're filing a grievance with the league. You're seeing some of the calls they don't agree with. Brunson's hold on Maxey right before the game's biggest play, the turnover. Also, the timeout debacle from Nick Nurse. He says he was ignored. You can tell me if the video corroborates that. Embiid had no box out on Hartenstein. And that is how we had an 8-0 Knicks run in the final seconds. 8 points in the final seconds to win a playoff game. Embiid's last shot, of course, missing. So the Knicks go up 2-0. Israel, do the Sixers have anybody to blame but themselves?
Not only do the Sixers not have anybody to blame but themselves, but they have plenty of blame to go around amongst themselves. With about 47 seconds left, Kyle Lowry's at the line shooting free throws. Get Joel Embiid out of the game. Get yourself a capable defender. He can't walk. He can't run. He can't jump, okay? And then, after that first Jalen Brunson free throw, Kyle Lowry, who made a bunch of great plays down the stretch that maybe the box score won't even show, made the first terrible mistake by rushing the inbound. And then whenever you inbound the ball and immediately put your hands back like this, that was a mistake. And that's what Kyle Lowry did. He's like, ooh, and he probably shouldn't have thrown that pass. And then you have a timeout. Kyle Lowry could have called one. Tyrese Maxey could have called one while on the floor with the ball instead of trying to nutmeg a New York Knick into another pass. All those repeat mistake after mistake after mistake when you had the game in your hands. There's nobody to blame. The league should just send in video of Kyle Lowry doing this after he complained, right, after they sent in that actual complaint, because it's nonsense.
So grievance denied. Pablo Torre in New York, to you on the ending of this game. Do the Sixers have beef?
Yeah, look, the complaints, the Daryl Morey going to the manager thing, no one more infamously does this than him. He is a habitual complainer to the league office. He will submit a packet and say, this is where we were done wrong. All of that is familiar as well. In that same, let's tell a different story and get the refs on our side. But Tony, look, I admit, as somebody who has watched Kawhi Leonard dink and doink a shot to eliminate the Sixers from the postseason before, watching that Jalen Brunson shot reminded me of a very similar emotion, which was, this is heartbreaking, this feels unfair, this feels like bad luck, and also, it feels like it was earned. You can't complain when you watch this game, even as a Sixers partisan, as I have been for years now, and say, oh, the better team lost. Because the end game scenario there is just the thing that the Sixers, as much as they should have won this game, the end game scenario is exactly what happens when you don't have let's just say it bluntly, when you don't have the confidence to be as good as everyone believes you should be. Joel Embiid shouldn't have been in the game, but guess what? He was there, and it doesn't make it an excuse for the team that they lost, right? Tyrese Maxey, dude, he was a revelation in this game. He's been excellent. They've combined Embiid and Maxey to score over 60% of the points in this game, in these two games, and it wasn't enough. And the end game is what I will be haunted by, and you can only blame yourself in the end, unfortunately.
On the ending of this.
Yeah, short version, Pablo. The Sixers have one person to blame, the Knicks, because they lost to them because they wanted it more. That's what home court advantage does for you. To quote the great urban philosopher DMX, get it on the floor. That's exactly what they did, and that's why MSG was such a great place for this game to happen. It was a palpable energy at the end of that game from a confidence standpoint for the New York team. The other thing, though, that's interesting here is, as much as I don't want to blame the referees, the Knicks are putting details about referees in their media guides, detailing what they're doing each game, leading me to believe that there is an actual issue here, more largely, whether or not it affected this game or not. If each franchise is looking at that portion of what the game operation is, that's a little weird to me, and that gives me a little bit reason for pause as to what we're doing overall here from an officiating standpoint.
Harry, do the Sixers have anyone to blame but themselves?
No, and the only thing that I'll give them anything on in terms of the grievance is what Clint just mentioned, the stat keeping with the referees. I think that's a little goofy, but that's another story. The thing with this, though, Nick Nurse's recollection of the timeout was completely off. Like, you did not get that off in time. You did not get the referee's attention. The ball was already gone by the time you were trying to really get a timeout in. And then as far as talking about the officiating, dude, you guys had a call overturned on Kyle Lowry that sort of really set the table more so than referees typically would by just not calling things. They overturned a call where there was contact. So you were a beneficiary of a lot of the no calls. So I felt like they called an even game, really. And truly, and I think, Pablo, you mentioned this, it was about the execution at the end of that play. Like, whether it was Kyle Lowry and his taking it out, not fighting for the rebound hard enough. To me, the Sixers have nobody to blame but themselves. The Knicks wanted it.
Joel, give you the last word.
Can we all just come into agreement here? We're 3 days into the playoffs. Let's just say the referees are not going to bail teams out. Stop looking to
that's
the refs.
Where I am with this
playoff team. Fouls are back, baby. All right? So just
you
stop.
You can say soberly that the game has been different the last 2 months. Since the end of February, the league told teams this.
No question.
And it has remained true now through the playoffs. Mike Breen gave Dante DiVincenzo a double bang last night. Roll tape. That's the fifth double bang in history, but there's only one Monica McNutt. I tell you, dear viewer, this is the Monica we see every day in the set, the Monica we love on this set. This is 100% the honest artifact, and she still gave her composure to call the game. Great job, Monica. Fire cell next.
The Horn is brought to you by Astepro Allergy, nasal allergy relief that starts working in 30 minutes.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron.
Bruins Leafs is getting good, and there was a decision made by Boston head coach Jim Montgomery that I want to get your take on. Game two. He made the decision to rotate his goalies, as he's done for most of the last 2 months. Linus Ullmark got the start. Montgomery says there's no second guesses. Ullmark was terrific, but Toronto scored three, including Austin Matthews getting off his schneid with what proved to be the game winner in the third. Maple Leafs 3, Bruins 2. What you buying, what you selling from that game two, Clint Yates?
I'm buying the goalie system. It just didn't happen to work out in this particular scenario. As you mentioned, they've been doing this the whole time, and Ullmark was not the problem. The power plays was the issue for the Bruins. He was arguably one of the better players on the ice for the Bees. They just couldn't come up with it. I'm fine with sticking with your
Harry
system.
Lyles Jr.?
Yeah, Tony, I'd buy that this was an issue if it's something that they haven't been doing the past couple of months, but they have been doing it the past couple of months, and these are two really good players. Both of them have at least 22 wins and a goal against average of at least 2.5. So they're both effective. They've both been good. It's one game. If the series goes differently, then we're having another conversation.
Drew, what you buy, what you sell from going from Swayman to Ullmark in game two?
Well, I'm buying that this game was not Ullmark's fault. They got themselves into the penalty box there and gave up the game-tying goal. Then you had Mr. 69 getting the breakaway with the winning goal. But if you look at this rotation, it's classic overthinking by Boston. Last year, they had questions on the rotation. They didn't do so. They didn't bring in Ullmark until Game 7 after more than 2 weeks of just sitting, and they lost Game 7 to the Panthers. And this year, they're going to say, okay, we're going to keep the rotation. No, you get to the playoffs, you stick with one guy until he loses.
Wait, you're trying to have it both ways then. Last year didn't work, and then this year didn't work. Okay, I'll unmute you. Please expound.
What I'm saying is, yes, they could have gone the same path as last year, and it's probably going to work better if your team is better. You lost to an 8 seed last year in the Florida Panthers. Stick with the plan. Don't go with the rotation. It's kind of silly.
I'm not sure you convinced me there. Pablo Torre, how about you?
Can I take the simplest answer on the board, which is Swayman was 4-0 against the Leafs this season. He had a 96% save percentage. He was 1.25 goals against. So to me, I would rather have that guy. I'm going to have the guy who's really good against the team you're playing for the whole time. Not part-time, the whole time. And the fact that they didn't do that feels like you overthought yourself into a system that didn't actually make a ton of sense based on the opponent.
We'll move on. Buy or sell two, Jackson Holliday, super prospect for the Baltimore Orioles. Since he has been called up, anybody know what he is? One for everything. One for everything is correct. Totally. One for 30. I heard that from Gutierrez is correct as well. So the super prospect with a brutal start. Clinton, was he called up too soon or too late? Because he was raking in the spring and not called up. And should he go back down or work through?
I think Izzy's point about overthinking it is one that happened here. If you know you've got a kid that you think is going to eventually make your big league roster, calling him up, in my opinion, is the right decision, especially if you think he needs more at-bats. He got sent back down because he was 200 points worse against lefties. They didn't think he could do it. He went out a ton of time, so they end up having to call him back, and now it feels like his confidence is shot. Jordan Walker for the Cardinals last year was in a similar situation, but he made the opening day roster, and he ended up making it back. I think the O's should just keep the kid on the big league squad. That's the easiest way to handle this.
All right, Lyles Jr.?
Tony, I'm buying that they completely fumbled this. Either he needs to be on the opening day roster or you call him up 2 or 3 months into the season, because now we're at a point where not is he only 1-30 in his at-bats, he has 16 strikeouts. Like, this is a case of you're messing with his mental, his psychology at this point. And in baseball and hitting the ball, that is one of the most mental things you can do in sports. And when you're in a slump like this, now they're in a place where they need to go ask him, hey, what do you need from us in order to help you continue here and try to break out of this and succeed? Because you know it's there and it hasn't been so far.
Well, this should be a great fit for him, a young player with a young, talented roster around him where they can sort of fit him in the ninth spot, let him get used to the big leagues, and then go on from there. But you have to look for signs to say maybe he's a little overwhelmed. And he had an at-bat a couple of days ago, bases loaded, full count, one out, and he just watched strike three straight down the middle. And it just kind of makes you wonder, hey, maybe he is, as Clinton mentioned, overthinking things at the plate. I don't know if it becomes too much for him, and you might want to send him down, regain his confidence, and bring him back, but it feels like this club would be a club where he can sort of just ride this out and stay with the big boys.
Yeah, I would keep him up. I think everything you're saying about the concern for his confidence is fair, but the reality is the O's are 7-3 in their last 10. While the best prospect in baseball has been struggling, the best prospect in baseball is still, last I checked, not somebody we think that much less of because of the slump. It feels like a guy who's adjusting to the surface of, you know, major league baseball, right? He has the bends, Tony. He came up real quick. I get it. It's hard to adjust. But it's a long season. Pulling the plug on him feels like a dramatic overreaction.
My baby's got the bends. I don't know if that's exactly what you want to say. It hasn't worked out so well for some. The bends hasn't worked out so well for Pablo Torre.
Scuba divers, it's hard.
We do know there have been those who started careers like 1-for-30 and turned out okay. Isn't that correct? We've had a history of guys. Willie Mays is
162
one
games.
Have thought of.
That would be me on this show, Tone, as well.
Is that right? Yeah, you started out 1-for-30? Clayton Yates, Pablo Torre, my baby's got the bends. Harry Lyles Jr., Israel Gutierrez. That's our showdown next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Walgreens.
How the Hurricanes came back on the Islanders last night. It was 3-0 midway through the second, early in the second. But the goals scored in the third period by Carolina. They scored 2 goals in 9 seconds, and they win 5-3. Did the Canes win it or Islanders blow it, Harry?
Tony, the Islanders blew this, and it's because of the pace in which it happened. 9 seconds between a tying goal and the goal to take the lead is an NHL record. If you lose that fast, there's really not a whole lot up for debate. You just blew it.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't matter that it happened that quickly. Carolina was dominating this game. Just look at the shots on goal. It was 108-20-something. The fact that it happened in a short period of time was pretty stunning for Islanders fans, but not for anybody who was watching that game.
There's a reason why. You look at the betting favorites right now. Carolina is at the top for the cup. We'll move on. White Sox, 3-19. I want to talk about a 3-19 team, all right? Their pace is 22-140, which... no one has ever been that bad, anywhere near that bad, in the history of the sport. Israel, could the White Sox be that bad?
I don't think they can be. Can they win less games than the Chicago Bulls? Can they be twice as bad as they are right now as the Florida Marlins? The Miami Marlins. I do not think this fall from grace from 2021 to now is talked about enough with the Chicago White Sox.
Tony, they've been shut out 8 times. They're on pace to win 22 games. They couldn't even make the play-in tournament in the NBA. If your Major League Baseball team wins 17 less games than your NBA team, you have to lose your franchise.
Wait, do you think they're going to win fewer games than the Bulls? I mean, that would
be the fact that they're on pace
Major League Baseball record. I can't see them being that bad. We're going to give the FaceTime to Israel Gutierrez.
Thank you, Tony. Want to take people behind the horn a little bit. Last week, Tuesday, there was only a 3-person weave on this show. I was supposed to be the 4th panelist. What happened? I really wanted to talk about the Florida Panthers for so long, I just stormed out because they wouldn't let me. So now, here's my chance, baby. Everybody needs to know the Florida Panthers are going to win the Stanley Cup this year. You've got the Conn Smythe Trophy is definitely going to Sam Reinhardt, Mr. 57 goals, a superstar that nobody talks about. They're probably going to face the Dallas Stars in the finals last night game against the Vegas Stars. Probably not that good for me in that prediction, but Florida Panthers 100% winning the Stanley Cup this year.
Israel Gutierrez, good to have you back for a full show. We'll see you tomorrow on the horn.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.